Welcome back to another episode of Shop Talk, brought to you by Fun Stuff Comics and More out in Katy, Texas. As always, I'm your host, Randall. Tonight I got Billy with ScaryDad.com. Welcome tonight, man. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it, my man. Another local collector, enthusiast, a little different genre.
A little different genre.
We do the horror thing, so tonight we're talking about all kinds of stuff. This is free form, long form. We're going to talk, and we don't have really a whole lot of outline. This should be pretty much relaxing and good time.
Goes where it goes.
Before we get started, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to the channel. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a comment, man. That stuff helps us a lot. Gives us some direction. So let us know what you're thinking, what you like, what you don't like. And if you want to check us out on any of our social media, it is at FunStuffComicsTX. And our Patreon would be patreon.com/FunStuffComicsTX. If you want to go ahead and shout out your social media and all that stuff, let us know.
The easiest way to find us will be your first Google result is Scary Dad. All one word, Scary Dad. We do a podcast, comes out Monday every week. You can find us on pretty much every platform. We have a blog. We actually have a Halloween event that we'll talk about later.
Nice.
All of that stuff is under the umbrella. If you hit up Scary Dad, you'll find us. And we've got 2 years, this will be episode 140 because we're recording at the same time. We'll probably hit it around the same time.
Yep.
So Scary Dad, the .com, Facebook, Scary Dad, Instagram, Twitter, everything.
Nice.
So it's all kind of...
It took me a minute to figure out it was all one word the other day. Because I follow you already, so I already see your stuff. But when I'm like searching, which I don't normally do, I was like, what the heck, man? And then I was like, wait a minute, hold on. And I just put backspace, and then it popped up. I was like, there we go.
Yep.
But for everybody that doesn't know this, one of the reasons why I asked him to come hang out is because they gave me my first real experience doing a podcast. They came through and let me jump on theirs like what, a year and a half ago?
Right. Yeah. A year ago.
A little over a year ago. It was an experience that made me really want to do this. So once I had a long form talk thing that I was wanting to do, and ultimately became a podcast Shop Talk, I knew very quickly that I wanted to have you guys come in and hang out. So, yeah, man, how you been?
Been good, man. Ramping up for the Halloween show. You know, it is right now. It's July.
Closer than you think.
It's a lot closer than you think. We've got a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. This is year three of the show. So basically what we wanted to do is we wanted to do a horror convention. There are horror conventions in every major city, and there's not one in Houston. So, there have been, and there have been attempts at it, but nothing that really kind of got off the ground. So we started year one in 2017. Did all right.
Okay.
Twice as big in 2018.
Nice.
Did all right again. So now it's year three. Usually the third movie is whenever the series really starts kicking off.
Right.
So
right.
Our tagline is this time it's personal. It's not in con season with everything else. It's Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween show. It's the 28th and 29th of September. And it's kind of a gateway to the whole holiday season.
Sure.
So we're going to have horror. We're going to have Halloween very emphasized, which a lot of horror cons don't necessarily do because it's out of season.
Yeah.
We're going to have a whole lot of local authors.
Okay.
Coming out and doing workshops for writers and people who want to be writers. A lot of filmmakers coming out, show you how to break into the film industry. Cosplayers, armorers, prop makers, those kinds of things, doing
that's
show
pretty
and tells,
awesome.
Make and takes, things of that nature. So if you run a home haunt and you really want to kick it up, we've got some folks from professional haunted houses coming out to show you how to really kick it up a notch, how to do like painting and texturing
and that kind
of stuff.
That's all very
and
skills. That and takes then, a lot of work, a lot of practice.
Yeah, and a lot of times it just takes somebody showing you how to do it. You know, like there's a lot of simple techniques that maybe you just can't really visualize even on a YouTube. But if somebody comes and shows you how to do it, yeah, how to text
no, in person's better to learn something like that most of the time.
So yeah, we're doing that, and
What's it called?
It's Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show.
Okay, so is that every year the same name, right?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know about that.
And yeah, and so we're working behind the scenes. Got a lot of stuff probably going to hit in the next couple of days.
We've
been working with a lot of these people behind the scenes, trying to gather all the information so we can start really announcing it and promoting it.
That's pretty awesome.
But yeah, and then I'll send you the links at the end so that you know, it can all be on there. But that's what I've been doing. Been keeping the podcast coming out every week. Then, you know, work and children and, you know.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, the whole...
Vaguely familiar. Vaguely familiar. Shoot, man. I'll definitely be out there this year. Cool, man. That's awesome. So normally when we sit down, we like to talk about, you know, comic books. It's not I didn't want to pigeonhole us into just being a comic book show. It's more of a pop culture media show with a very large dose of comic books, because obviously that's what we do mostly here. But if people think that's all we do, they're sorely mistaken.
No, there's too much stuff in here for just comics.
Yeah, so we do, you know, movies, vintage stereos, records, tapes, video games, manga, anime, all that stuff, man. And I'm looking forward to Halloween this year. I'm really hoping to get something cool going on in here. And if it is not this year, for sure next. This is only our second year in business, and I'm learning still almost daily.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you're ramping up for the holidays. Dude, I'm already getting ready for the Christmas season. Like, I'm already getting stuff like this right here because I'm already thinking, like, okay, in, like, November, October, like, what am I going to want to have in here? I don't want to have to wait and be like, oh crap, and then scramble to get some stuff. No, I want people to walk in here and at the end of the summer and be like, hey, I'm looking for something, a possible gift for my husband or my son right here, bing bang boom.
That's the best way to do it, because I'll tell you what, even as I've gotten older, the only way to keep Christmas presents and the like secret from anybody is to never let them know that that's what you're doing. So I'll be somewhere and I'll see something, I'll be like, my wife would like that. And it might be June, July, August, and I'll buy it, throw it in a bag, throw it in the top of the closet.
Yeah.
You know, almost forget about it. And then I'll go up there.
Absolutely forgot about
Christmas. Go look up there and be like, oh yeah, I've got all this cool stuff. I don't actually need to go shopping.
So it saves you money too, man.
Yeah, and I hate shopping on the holidays.
Oh, I hate shopping, period. The holidays just makes it even worse, man. That's crazy. Yeah, dude. Forget all that mess. So you're the horror expert here. I thoroughly enjoy it. I would not call myself an expert on it. I consider myself an expert in a couple of things. That is not one of them. So why don't you tell me some of the stuff that you really like about horror, why you like it, what is it that brings it to you and makes you, you know, gives you a joy? Like, it's stuff that normally would scare some people. Why do you like it so much? What is it about it that you like?
Well, I think, for me anyway, because I'm in my, you know, I'll be 44 this year.
Okay.
So I grew up in the 80s, basic cable and premium cable on rotation. There was a lot of stuff that well, first of all, we've done episodes on our show about it. There's a lot of stuff in the 80s that had kind of unnecessarily frightening scenes in them for no real reason.
Really?
So you think about, like, Pee-wee's Big Adventure and the large Marge scene and, like, the weird clown scene and the dream sequences.
That was, like, weirdly scary.
You know, and you have... And then you have movies that were not meant to be necessarily scary movies that had a lot of horror elements, like The Goonies, for example.
Dude, my first nightmare was Beetlejuice, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, legit scared me, woke up, couldn't sleep. Yeah, I was a little kid.
And so there was a lot of that stuff in the 80s. And again, you know, mainstream type stuff like Creepshow and stuff that was... It was horror movies, but it was on... It was just on. And we, as kids, we just watched it. It was just there. So, you know, kind of come up, it fell off in the 90s, and it's kind of starting, it's really kind of making a comeback now. But I used to be a huge comic collector, like, back in the 90s. You know, every major title, I was collecting, like, the female superheroes back then, which nobody was. They were collecting X-Men because Rogue had big boobs, but I was collecting, like, Wonder Woman and Batgirl and that kind of stuff. Just, you know, it was there, and I got it. And I fell out of comics pretty hard around, you know, like, late 80s to early 90s, when all the gimmicky stuff, all the Image stuff came out, where it was like multiple die cut covers and, you know, all of that kind of stuff that very gimmicky, very much if you're going to buy a comic, you're going to, you know, sure, there's a million of them, but you're going to buy this one and you'll be a millionaire. Like, that was some really stupid speculative stuff that was going on in the early 90s.
Oh, dude, a lot of people got dropped into that
and
bucket.
I could not, well, first of all, I saw through it, and second of all, I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, it got expensive.
Like, it got very expensive, and especially when you were almost mandated to buy five issues of the same book.
Man.
You know? So I just, right at the death of Superman, because I knew he was coming back.
Sure.
I knew he was coming.
How did anybody not think he was coming
this
back?
This is a publicity stunt. I'm out.
Dude.
So Superman, Superman 75 was like the last comic that I bought.
Oh, wow.
For the longest time, right? But one series that I kept with was Sandman. And right around the same time as I was pulling out of mainstream comics, which Sandman's been, is mainstream, but still... Vertigo's DC.
But is it though? I wouldn't call it, dude. Most people don't know what Sandman is.
Well, true. I picked up a graphic novel around the time I was closing the books on comic collecting. I grabbed a graphic novel and it was the first, whatever, eight issues of Sandman series. And I read that and it was life-changing because it was smart and it had references to all kinds of literary stuff, you know, like Shakespeare and all of these weird gods and all of these weird monsters and all of this stuff that was all wrapped around this mythos of the, I'm sure if you're familiar with the Sandman.
Vaguely.
Basically what the Sandman is there's seven entities that are aspects of human personality. So you've got the main character, Sandman, he's Dream, and his sister is Death, and then you have Delirium and Destruction and Destiny, and I missed to Desire and Despair, okay? And they're this pantheon of what they're called the Endless. So they're higher than gods. So like all of the gods that have ever existed are, they run along concurrently with them in different forms.
Okay.
So through the book, they might have a myth, you know, like some African tribesman 3,000 years ago, and the Endless will appear to him as their spirit animals.
Okay.
That kind of stuff. Like, they're
wild.
Always there. And but the pantheon, the mythologies, and all of this stuff just woke up my mind, and it just was like, this matters. This is important. Like, and me being the curious kid that I was, it got me into literature. I started reading a lot of mythology and a lot of strange books, and a lot of the references that were in here,
you opened up a book. I mean, well, quite literally a book, but like, you know, it opens up a door, and you're just like, man, I'd love to go explore this deep, dark room.
And it was, you know, that's a
big room, man.
It's a big room, and it was never ending. And around the same time, because I guess I was like a sophomore in high school, sophomore, junior, somewhere in that range, music started hitting me real hard. That was like the first wave of grunge coming through.
Yeah.
In the 90s. So, you know, you had the 80s hair metal, but then you also had, you know, your hard metal like Metallica that was still in the underground. Probably the heaviest thing that was going on at the time was Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
On the radio mainstream. But then you had other kind of, you had bands like The Cure that were top 40 pop. But they weren't at the same time on the same record.
Well, they had like a pop track, and
right.
Then they would have like 11 tracks of like really just dark
and well written,
intelligent,
stuff.
Lyrical. And I'm not a Cure fan. I'll be the first to admit, just because I can respect them doesn't mean I like them. I don't like the Cure, but I do know what they're all about.
Right.
And so yeah, I mean back then there was a lot of that was an interesting time period for a lot of people.
But then The Cure got me, you know, because I followed The Cure then and went down the rabbit hole, and that brought me to, you know, kind of like some darker post-punk stuff, you know, Bauhaus, you know, a lot of more kind of gothy stuff. And then, you know, up into the metal side, you know, I was like a real big Guns N' Roses fan. Well, it was, you know, was it just a couple years later whenever you had Metallica, Faith No More, and Guns N' Roses touring?
Yeah, were you into like the, did you do any of the industrial stuff?
I did a lot of the industrial stuff.
I had a feeling.
A
lot of horror guys that I know love industrial music. Ministry, Skinny Puppy, all that stuff.
That stuff, I mean, Nine Inch Nails, obviously.
Nine Inch Nails. How did I forget Nine Inch Nails?
Nine Inch Nails dropped a hammer on me, man. It was just like, and so, I'm sitting here reading all of this bizarre literature.
Yeah.
And, you know, going out with my friends and hitting concerts and hitting mosh pits and just, you know, thrashing
dude,
all of
angst,
the blues
man.
Out.
Getting some of it out finally,
and
dude.
Then, right. And so I just kind of never let it go. And then I guess there was this kind of, just occurred to me that somebody would hand me a book and I'd flip through it and be like, it's not horror. I'm not really interested. I didn't state like, I'm going to be a horror fan. It just, I kind of looked around. I'm like, okay, well, I've read everything Stephen King's written. I've read all of Anne Rice's stuff. I've read, you know, the only comics I read are like, you know, The Walking Dead and that kind of stuff. I mean, I haven't read a tremendous amount of Walking Dead, but those were the kinds of stuff.
That's the area
that,
you
that,
were in.
That drew me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then once I bought a house and started doing my own thing, the first thing I thought, we bought our house, our first house we bought in July. We were moving in the middle of July. It was 110 degrees outside. And I'm standing out in the yard looking to see what, like, kind of shit that I can put in for, like, Halloween.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm like, dude, we're going to have trick-or-treaters for the first time ever. Like, I'm gonna deck this shit out. It's going to go.
That's how you know you're a true fan, because you haven't even once, like, yeah, that's awesome.
So that's kind of just, I mean, I didn't set out to be this way. It's just kind of, it just kind of got me.
I've tried to explain it to people so many times, specifically my mom. Man, I did not set out. It wasn't my intentions to love punk rock the way I do. I literally fell into that at a Metallica concert. Rancid played before them, and I just was like, no, wait, never mind. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like. That's me. I'm a little younger than you, so I like, when you were hitting all that stuff, I was skateboarding and listening to, like, you know, like, punk rock was really just starting to kind of, like, grunge was huge on the radio, and punk rock was just, like, underneath that, the top layer, so you could hear a little bit on the radio, and then, like, when Green Day and Offspring started becoming big, you could read their liner notes and read the thank yous, and find Bad Religion, NOFX, Pennywise, that's how I found all those bands, and you read their liner notes and find out the Operation Ivy, it was so crazy. And it's rabbit holes, dude. People don't know how to
rabbit holes, but see, the thing was, too, and what it, like distinguishing things, it always used to drive me nuts, because grunge was grunge, right? But I always considered myself more of a metalhead, right? And if I'd lived in a colder climate, I probably would have been more of a goth, right? Just like
yeah.
kind of just the culture you identify with.
Sure.
It's too damn hot to wear black all the time.
Man.
And, you know, but it's like, I would read articles about these different bands, like the Gin Blossoms, which was a band that I liked, you know, like whatever, but they're pop.
Yeah.
And I'd hear them described as grunge. I'm like, no, they're not.
What?
Because they happen to have a distorted guitar does not make a band grunge, right?
Yeah.
I never could, and I love these bands. I've seen them live. I've met a lot of them. I don't know what defines grunge as opposed to, like, rock, metal, pop. Depending
when
when you
hear it, you know it.
Well, that's what I mean, because, like, I'd listen to certain bands, like NOFX. Okay, there's a lot of metal in there.
It sure is.
There's a lot of ska in there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of punk in there. But to define them specifically as this and not let them out of their box, which they didn't allow. But
yeah.
You know what I'm talking
they're
about? Like,
in my opinion, a punk band.
There's
all kinds of different stuff in there.
There was never any identifying with, like, oh, I can't listen to them because they're this way.
Right,
put them on, I'm like,
right.
Fucking A.
Well,
like,
if you look at, like,
some of the records.
Some of the biggest grunge bands out there, I mean, if you look at, let's use Nirvana and Alice in Chains. I consider both of those grunge bands.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty different.
Yes,
like,
totally.
I mean, they're real different. And then you throw Pearl Jam in the mix. Dude, these are all bands that I personally consider grunge. They're nothing alike.
I think grunge was more of a fashion than it was like a look.
I think that's a pretty good,
an actual
pretty good description.
Sound.
I think it is.
Because, again, Nirvana was what they were.
It was jeans and flannel.
Alice in Chains was metal. Soundgarden was hair metal.
Dude, I love Soundgarden.
I mean, old Soundgarden, listen to them. There's almost no distinguishing them between some of their other hair metal companions. They're just a little heavier, a little darker than some of their contemporaries, and they slipped in. And not to say they didn't deserve to.
Yeah, I love Soundgarden.
But you wouldn't be able to sit there and listen to those three bands and be like, oh, these guys are the same. Let's put them on a tour together. Like, what?
Yeah.
like back in the 80s.
They can tour together, but that doesn't mean that it's a grunge tour. It's just a tour of good rock bands.
So, you know, it's like you mentioned Pennywise. Seen him live like 3 or 4 times.
Hell yeah.
No Effects, Rancid, oh, you know, like all of them.
Just like my childhood right there.
Like the Offspring. Dude, there was a show. We're going.
Right? No.
Who's
that
playing?
That is the difference about the 90s and now, is that when there was a show, we went. Now it's like, oh, who's playing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't even look. I just was going to go down to Fitzgerald's, which RIP Fitzgerald's.
Right.
Like, man.
Well, that was one night. It was killer, dude. We went and saw, I don't know if you remember a place called the International Ballroom.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Okay. We went and saw Offspring there. Okay?
Okay.
We got out of Offspring. We saw what time it was. We're like, shit. We drove all the way back over into Midtown, and we saw the last bit of Rook Assault and then Hole.
That's like, awesome.
Like, we went from one venue, like 20 miles into town, to catch the end of another band and
that's cool, man.
And we were just like, that's the life we'd work.
Well, like,
in,
when you look at it these days, and we'll, I swear we'll get back on the horror stuff. But when you look at it like this, like, nobody that I know that's younger than 30 knows how to discover music the right way. They don't know how to go out and, I don't know how to describe this, what I'm thinking right now, but it's like, they don't know how to do this stuff. This isn't how they grew. And I'm not even faulting them. I'm just saying it's odd to me that people don't know how to make a cassette. Let's see if you can make a mixtape. What's a mixtape? I'm like, you don't know what a mixtape is? They're like, is it a CD? I'm like, it's literally not. It's actually a tape. What do you mean, is it a CD? No. So
I used to do the same thing. Read liner notes.
Man, liner notes was like, that was the internet back then, dude. Liner notes was the internet.
And then you'd go to some place like Sound Exchange or Sound Record Rack. And they had
Diamond Records.
You had CD players that you could actually listen to the band, so you could hear if it sucked. Right?
That's how good bands got around, though.
But at the same time, so many records you bought sight unseen. You liked, maybe you heard somebody else liked them, you heard one song off a mixtape, you went and bought their record.
And it was bad.
And it might have been bad, but hey, that was...
Dude, that's the risk you took.
That was roulette, basically. It was Russian roulette.
Except that back then, man, like, it took so much more work to be a band and actually do it that more often than not, you were pretty decent if you got to be where you're putting records out.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, anybody can do it because you can record out of your garage, and you don't know if you're buying bullcrap or not.
True.
But, like, at least back then, you know, if it was on Epitaph and you liked punk rock, you had a pretty good shot of at least liking most of it.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I bought stuff that I didn't really care for. I personally never liked No Use for a Name, but I didn't know that until I bought the album. All my friends loved that band.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt weird not liking it. But, I mean, I don't know. Dude, I miss those days. Like, straight up. Skateboarding with no cell phone. Oh, man. Like, as much
pushing
as I love...
Pushing people in the pool.
As much, yes, dude. As much as I love this phone, I love it and I use it. And if I didn't have it, we would have some real trouble here at the store. But if I could go back to those days and just be like, man... Hey, are you going to be home tonight? I don't know. All right, I'll come by. Like, what? People now will be like, what are you doing? Come by where?
Yeah.
Your house? No. I'll call you first. Yeah, but I'm not going to answer my phone. Why not? I just left at the house. Why would you do that? That's where the phone goes. Like,
yeah, right?
Man.
So weird. It's, you know, too, like, you're talking like the mixtapes and that kind of stuff. I mean, pagers.
Pagers.
Like, you call it, you know, your mom would call, your mom would text you or something, and you're like, you'd have to, like, in the mall.
You have like a code. It'd be like 111 means like get your butt home.
You get the payphone and call collect. and your mom would answer and it'd be like, collect call from, you know, we'll be here for another 30 minutes.
Right.
And the response was, come home now. And you're like, gotta go, guys.
Right.
You know, like,
dude, I forgot about stuff like that. Man. Walking to work, dude, man. Dude, the 90s was awesome.
The 90s was.
I don't care what anybody says, man. A lot of sad stuff happened in the 90s, but it was a good time.
It was, man. I had a blast.
Dude.
The thing was, that was great about it is I knew it was great when I was in it. Because
no, for real. I knew I was having a blast.
Because I knew that, especially with like the grunge music and Lollapalooza and kind of the big festival type stuff, I knew that it was something special because my dad was a real big music fan and he was like, man, this is different. Like, this is like it used to be.
Right?
He's like,
that's crazy.
He's like, it didn't used to be like this. Like, and the way he would describe it was, you had Top 40 radio, you'd have, like, the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Motown and, like, some weird psychedelic guy all on the same, all on the same station, you know, whatever, it's Top 40. So when bands would play, there wasn't a headliner. You'd have like three sort of
different styles,
same level bands that would play at the same time. And one
the
night
crowds would actually morph and change a little bit.
Yeah. And he's like, man, you got all these different kind of, you know, these festivals where all these different types of bands are playing. He's like, go, you need to be part of this.
Dude, the Warped Tour in the late 90s was like...
It was insane.
Bro, man. I saw Eminem on the Warped Tour in 1998.
Wow.
Dude, he was like on the side stage.
I'm trying to think of what year it was when NoFX poured all their money on the...
1998. Was that 98? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I remember that. I got $25 out of them dudes. In Houston. Were you in Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was so dope. So... Let's take a sharp left turn. This just popped in my head. I'll tell you mine first, but then I want to hear yours, and I want you to elaborate. My favorite horror movie, and I think that this is just a gut reaction, Scream 1.
Scream 1.
My favorite horror movie, because when I was younger, I watched it, and it scared the shit out of me, man. I watched it by myself in my friend's house, and I was in a place I wasn't familiar with, and I was like 17, 16 years old. He wasn't there. It was just me, and it was like it was over by Cypher High School. So it was out on some property. So such a bad idea, man, to watch that on this giant tube TV. And then I was just like, shit, I shouldn't have done that. I can't. I'm not sleeping tonight, man. I was terrified. So, anyways, what's your favorite horror movie?
Well, I'm gonna say my favorite horror movie of all time will always be the first Halloween, and John Carpenter from 1978. That is
good movie.
That is, I heard it somewhere described as like a perfect waltz. Like, everything is there, right? And then there's a lot of stuff that is implied that's also there, but you don't see it. Like, there's no blood. It's all,
huh.
I mean, it's jump scares.
Yeah.
It's music. It's mood. It's so many things that they couldn't make it better with more money. Like, it's just that good.
That's a rare,
right.
Rare thing to accomplish.
Now, there's a lot of movies that are technically, let's say, call them technically superior. Like, you mentioned Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice is one of my all-time favorite movies.
I love that movie so much.
It's so great. And I remember seeing that one. I saw that one in the theater when it came out.
Yeah?
I remember the TV spots and just seeing the weirdness of it and just being
so
like, I have to go see that. That's so cool.
Dude. So good.
I'm trying to think, you know, another John Carpenter was The Thing. You know, Scott and I talk about The Thing a lot.
My best friend and, loves that movie. I don't get it, man. I don't understand the appeal.
It's
like, I appreciate what they did. Practical effects and everything was awesome. But I've watched it recently, and I was like, A, that would never in my life have scared me, and B, I don't understand how anybody now can still think that that's the greatest horror movie, or A, even A great.
I guess
maybe it's because I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, different strokes, I guess.
Yeah, because, that's true.
What's funny is because I always get in these arguments, not arguments, but discussions, and sometimes arguments, but with people about like Friday the 13th.
Okay.
And people will decide, you know, they'll have discussions about which one's the best or their favorite or whatever. And the thing is, when you're discussing like the Friday the 13th series, is you have to, especially specifically Friday the 13th, is you have to step back and you have to start with none of them are good films. Like, there's not a
That's
good
awesome.
they're not good movies. They're not well made. The people who made them will have multiple times readily admitted if opening weekend was good, they got a phone call saying to make another one. It was all a cash cow from the beginning.
Okay.
And as long as people were buying tickets, they had zero budgets. They didn't care about casting. They only cared about what the people looked like on screen. They didn't care if they could read. They didn't care if they could, you know, like...
They wanted pretty people and then scary people?
Yeah, if somebody couldn't spit lines out properly, they just killed them off early. But
wow.
They didn't put any money into them, and they made so much.
Yeah.
So, with, like, Halloween, you have a master director like John Carpenter who's just starting out.
Yeah.
That is a good movie. The sequels can be debated. But for us, especially on the podcast, it doesn't matter if it's well made or if it's believable or whatever. What matters is ultimately it's scary, right? Like,
yeah.
So when you're looking down the lines of the Friday the 13th movies, for example, I would give probably 2 and 3 are the scariest. They're the ones
on which ones? Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th.
Okay.
Like, he's going to jump out and he's going to get you and it's going to kind of make you jump and you're going to be like, ooh. And that's out of 11 movies, right?
Like, so many.
That's a lot of movies. The Thing is one of those that the concept of just being out there if this thing gets out of the ice,
okay,
the world ends.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
Because it can hide.
Sure.
And it can take the form of anything it touches, right? So if it gets away, the world ends. We're done.
Yeah. That makes sense.
They don't realize that until the end, because the whole time it's kind of this mystery of what is going on. They don't really know what's going on. So the implications of what could, like, if they fail, it's over. Because if it kills them all and it stays warm enough to get off the ice, world ends. If it kills them all and waits for somebody else to come, it'll just get them too.
It's like a lose-lose.
There's no happy ending. And the practical effects were amazing, not only for their time. I mean, even watching them
now, they're cool now.
They stand up. They're really good. But there's a lot of implications in the movie that are more cerebral than just jump out on the screen.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen it in a long time. It's always been... It's one of those that's kind of close to your heart, but
yeah,
you know, like
you don't always want to watch it.
You know, like a record that you always love, but you just want to listen to right now.
Yeah.
But we started doing this thing called Fresh Eyes, where we'd pull a movie that we haven't seen in a while, and we'd watch it again, or maybe we'd even recently seen it. But the rules of Fresh Eyes are: you have to forget, you have to sit down, watch it start to finish as if you never saw it before, and look at it from that perspective. And a lot of these old movies that we're kind of desensitized to. If you like watch Alien for the first time, that's terrifying. You know, it's really scary.
Alien was up there for me.
Yeah. So those are the sorts of things, especially since we've done 140 episodes of the podcast, we need stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of real big horror fans like to dog on Event Horizon. That's a terrifying movie.
I love Event Horizon.
That's a terrifying movie.
And dude, that's a good movie.
The cool
man.
Thing about Event Horizon is that, okay, yeah, it had been done before in multiple movies or whatever. It doesn't matter. Hellraiser's scary. This is Hellraiser in space.
Dude.
You know, this is Hellraiser on a spaceship. This is The Shining and Hellraiser on a spaceship. So two of the scariest horror movies ever, and you just take away the fact that you can ever escape. What's
not
to love?
It's funny you say that, because two movies that scared the shit out of me that aren't even horror movies are... the one with George Clooney and old girl when they're out in space. Like, that concept, no thank you, man.
Right.
Like, I don't even like to get on a ladder, bro. I ain't flying out into space. But they're, like, out there just floating around, bro. Like, they got one chance to maybe get out of that alive. Like, and that's not looking too good.
Mm-hmm.
That one scared me really bad. Like, it wasn't even that scary, but it had me just, like, holding my breath the whole time. Like, oh, no. It was tense, you know? And then the one with... not Ben Affleck, the other guy.
Matt Damon,
thank you. Oh, man. Matt Damon, where he was on Mars.
I haven't seen that one, but I've heard it's awesome.
Oh, crap. I don't want to spoil anything, but, man, it's like nothing good happened to that guy. And I was like, that's terrifying.
Yeah. And I think that's, for a lot of people, that's the frightening thing is the unknown.
Yeah.
Dude,
blood and guts don't scare me, man. You put me in a, hey, man, you're going to be alone forever in space. I'm like, hold on, why? What? No, please don't do that. No.
One of the most horrifying things I'd ever heard. I listened to a podcast. It's called Hardcore History.
Oh, I like Hardcore History.
And
you write that down.
He does what's called the addendum. It's a different one you have to subscribe to, but it's like shorter episodes, because his episodes are like 4 hours long, and he does like multiple he does a series of multiple episodes. So you have like the World War One. It's like 30 hours of content, right?
That's a lot.
It's a lot. He did this one, and it was on the Indianapolis, which was the ship that sank. That if you've ever watched Jaws, you know the speech that Quint gives about the ship sinking, and they're in the water with the sharks, and the sharks come.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
So, what happened was, if you're watching Jaws, Quint, the old grizzled sailor, he's saying how the ship went down in 12 minutes, no distress signal had been sent. They 1,000 men went in the water. The sharks came and started eating them.
Okay.
And they eventually got rescued, but 1,000 men went in the water. 300 came out. The sharks took the rest.
That's a lot of people.
Well, the Indianapolis was an actual ship that sank in World War II. It delivered components for the atom bomb. On a secret mission, and it got torpedoed, and it sank. And the guy from Hardcore History did a whole episode on it. I'm sitting driving in my car, and one of those things that just sends you shudders, scarier than any movie I've ever seen. Because you're imagining, as I'm telling you the story, the ship sinks, you're in the water, right?
Okay.
And there's sharks in the water, but you're imagining you're seeing dorsal fins. They're in tropical waters. They can see down to 40 feet. And these sharks are swarming below them.
So they just see the whole shark.
Yeah, like Caribbean waters. Whenever you're looking in the water and you can see all that stuff.
Yeah.
They can look down and they can see the sharks.
So they're sinking and they're just looking at the sharks and they're going, well, this is where we go down to the sharks, I guess.
Like, yeah.
What in the world?
They're clustered together, and whenever somebody would break off, the sharks would come in and get them.
Oh, no,
and
dude.
And it's just like, it is the most horrifying thing, but I could take everything that he was talking about until he cleared that water in my mind. As long as that water was murky,
right?
Then it strikes you don't know. You don't.
Dude.
But as soon as you can see it.
I was listening to Joe Rogan talk to Cowboy Cerrone. You know who he is? UFC fighter.
Okay, yeah.
He does a lot of like cave diving underwater, and he said that he went down. And this whole story, I kept realizing I was holding my breath. I'm like up here working one night, and I just stood still for about 40 minutes while he told this story. And he said that he was swimming with a team, and they were doing this deep cave dive, and they got separated. His light went out. He had almost no air in his tank, and he was in a spot he didn't know where he was at. And he had to, like, he was cable free, man. He had to, like, fight. Bro, that is terrifying. I'm claustrophobic, too, man.
That's the worst thing that I can think of.
Yeah, that's scary.
Like, I was always afraid to get hurt. Not because I was afraid to actually feel pain, but because I could not deal with having an IV. Like, being stuck.
IVs are gross. Have you seen The Descent? I'm sure you have, right?
I've seen parts of it. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Movie, when they're crawling, the very beginning, when they're crawling through that thing, and that girl, I don't know how they got the camera in there, man, but that girl, she's like, there might be a half inch all the way around her, and she's crawling through there. Dude, I was like,
I would not do that.
Bro, I can't even watch that, man.
Would not do that stuff, man.
Oh my goodness, that's so scary. You want to talk about some comics?
Sure, man.
Let's talk some comics.
This is the comic that Scott and I met over. This is the number one. This is the first issue of Sandman.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So, this is how I met him. I reached out.
May I put it up to the camera?
Yeah.
Dude, Sandman, number one.
One of these days I want to get that signed by Mr. Neil Gaiman.
Oh, man. That is an interesting fellow.
Oh, he is. Got a couple of things signed by him, but never in person.
Just
stuff that I picked up that already has signatures on it.
Honestly, sometimes that's easier.
But yeah, I reached out to some friends. It's like, hey, does anybody know people who are signed Sandman? Because nobody has them. Nobody does.
Yeah.
And the guy replied, and he's like, hey, this guy does. Send me some information. Texted Scott, was like, you have it? He's like, yeah, come on out. Went out to his house to buy it, and we sat there and talked about horror movies, metal.
Oh, it was Scott?
Yeah, it was Scott.
That dude's got some random stuff.
We started the podcast, we didn't record that night, but like 2 weeks later we started it, and we've been going since.
That's awesome. So, I didn't know that about y'all. That's pretty rad.
That's another way that this thing kind of, like, this key issue, right?
Yeah, for sure.
This is the number 8. That's the first appearance of Death. So,
dude, that's awesome. Man, my boy Josh would love this. Josh, if you're watching this, brother, I wish I could take these for you, bud. I don't want to get murdered, though.
Yeah, these are key issues to me. But yeah, a lot of stuff. You asked what, you know, stuff that I collect. Weird crap.
Like, yeah, show that off to the camera, man. That's
the Marvel adaptation of Jaws 2.
That's from wild.
You know, the late 70s.
That's a great cover, too.
I run across these old Fangorias sometimes.
Anytime somebody brings those in, we pick them up.
You know, and then just old Pulp Fictions, like Famous Monsters and stuff like that.
Dude, that's the shit.
I got stacks of comics, anything with a monster on the cover.
It's the best stuff, man.
Then, you know, talking about, like, pops and
Margie, sorry, guys.
You know, pops and statues and figures and stuff. I mean, if it's horror related, that's what I get. And what's fun is because a lot of people don't carry it. Like, it's not on the shelf a lot of times. And so
it's hard for me to find it, man.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have it.
I actively look for that stuff. I want to have horror stuff.
So when I find it, it's like a
it's It's like a treat.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'll take it, you know. And then, yeah, even like this kind of stuff, you know, make
it. It's hard to get anything like that in here, man. I have done a lot more looking into that than I would like to admit. I spent a lot of time looking for stuff. And I mean, when this guy walked in with these horror pops, I literally was like, yes, I want them. I will figure out a way for me to acquire them, but I do want them.
Yeah. But then the prize that I've got.
That thing is bananas. What else? Okay, so there's like 47 signatures on here.
There are 7 Jasons and a Jason's mother on here. So going from the top, you got, well, everybody knows in Friday the 13th, the first movie, the killer was Jason's mother.
Yeah.
And in a dream sequence at the very end, the drowned little boy pops up out of the lake.
Okay.
That's Ari Lehman.
That's dope.
He's part one.
Nice.
Tom Savini was the visual effects supervisor. He did all the special effects. He also, in a couple of sequences, he was the hands of Mrs. Voorhees.
Oh, really?
So this is part one right here.
Okay.
Part two, we recently lost Mr. Steve Dash.
Oh,
he passed away.
R.I.P. Steve Dash.
So, part three, Richard Brooker, who played Jason, he died years ago. He died back in 2013. So we got one and two, and then go over to part four. Here, Ted White.
Dude, that's awesome. Is that like one of your favorite things?
It is, man. It's cool. Part five, Tom Morja played Jason. Part six, C.J. Graham.
Man, that's
part seven, cool. 8, 9, and 10 was Kane Hodder.
Dude.
And then Freddy and Jason was Kurtzinger. So,
dude, that is pretty awesome, man.
Walked around Frightmare Weekend with this thing, getting everybody to sign it. Lines were long. I said, "Screw it, I'm getting them done."
That's cool.
So,
man.
That's
probably near and dear to your heart,
big time. And I'm not somebody I don't really collect stuff for
monetary value
at all.
No, but that means more to you than money.
Oh, no. That's something that's going to, like, I'll give that to my daughters. Like, hey, you know, I'll put that in a shadow box and stuff.
It's yeah, that's display. Freaking cool, man.
So, but these are the sorts of stuff that I collect. You know, it's an odd assortment of strange pulp fiction and monsters and signatures and stuff. But I just get immersed in that whole world.
So since it's not, I won't call it horror, but I feel like it at least, man, toes the line, bro. How do you... I just keep looking up over your shoulder and I see that Stranger Things is they're dressed up as Ghostbusters up on that shelf mm-hmm. right over here. How do you feel about Stranger Things? I think some people really don't like it, which is surprising me.
It surprises me, especially if you're my age.
Yeah.
There's so many Easter eggs in there.
Bro, you can watch it 3 or 4 times and still be like, oh my goodness, I didn't know they did this.
There's so many different things inside of Stranger Things that are just... They're love stories to the 80s. I mean,
yeah,
and little things that you wouldn't necessarily even really notice that are just shout outs to obscure movies and special effects and like the kids being Ghostbusters. And,
yeah,
you know, that kind of stuff that
literally brought back D&D.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah,
and I remember in the first episode when we were here talking to you a year ago or whatever, you were talking about how you did tabletops at the
time. Yeah,
yeah. And I was like, D&D? And you're like, no, not really. And I was like...
Which, oddly enough, we do that now, like, big time.
But yeah, because at the time, like, it had just started swinging up that way with Stranger Things.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought about D&D in years, like decades. And then all of a sudden, I was like, man, I want to play. I need to find somebody that's got a
manual and everything?
Yeah, and my wife is like... No.
No.
She's like, you are involved in too many things.
Right?
You
yeah.
cannot.
I'm spread pretty thin. I just was curious because I truly love that show. Like, I think I like it more than I even realized. Like, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, dude, I would watch that over and over and over. And there is Easter eggs, and I like it because it's not cheesy, man. They did it the right way. I don't even think they meant to do this, man. I think this was a complete accident, which makes it even better. They just wanted to make a good TV show.
Right.
And it happened to be a nostalgic TV show with some little tinges of horror and a little bit of this and that and a little bit of science fiction and a little bit of comedy even. And
well, it's so many of the things, like I said, you know, whenever you were watching HBO and Cinemax and mm-hmm. I don't even think we had Showtime back then.
Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, Tales from the Crypt and all that stuff.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
And so you had, like, I don't know, like, you had all those kid movies, like, you know, Back to the Future is very mainstream, but you had all those movies like The Explorers, and those ones like The Goonies and stuff, where you had kids that were in weird situations with like E.T. even.
Yeah.
With dangerous adult antagonists in a weird, like, otherworldly science fiction sort of world that...
E.T. Was a weird one.
You know, and which a lot of Stranger Things, especially with the way that in the first season with the Matthew Modine, the way he played it almost exactly like the guy from E.T.
If you remember,
way he looked and the way he acted.
Oh,
he
for
was
sure.
Very friendly, but
for
also
sure.
very mean,
very scary,
and very very deadpan scary. Yeah,
yeah.
The monster is there's so many monsters like the monster. And then as you move through the seasons, the monster evolves and gets worse.
Yeah.
And so it's not the same monster. The same monster isn't back. It's a variant of the old monster that's bigger and meaner.
Yeah, and you're like, what the hell happened?
So even if you know how to kill the old monster,
it's not
the same monster. So there's so much cool stuff about it. And then even if you're not following the story, but you're just looking behind them. You know?
Right?
They've got, like, was noticing, was it? I was watching an episode last night. Hopper, he's sitting there getting mad at the kids for making out, and he's watching Magnum. And then he's gonna
go out,
and then he's gonna go meet Winona Ryder. So he goes to the store and he buys the white shirt.
Dude, do you know that they already talked about that? There's since this season has picked up that there's been a resurgence of like Hawaiian button downs and denim sold.
I would imagine.
That's so funny to me, man. But I mean, that's why we started messing. That's not why, okay? It was funny to me that I started looking at boomboxes, and then once I bought a couple for the store, and then this show came back on, and I saw it, I was like, crap, I bought more because I thought this is going to be a thing again. And I posted this on Instagram, and within seconds, I had a dozen questions about it. I was like, oh man, that's really happening. And I think it's directly related to Stranger Things.
I agree. I think there's a. And that's what's so great about this kind of resurgence of horror is, first of all, again, when you're scary is subjective, you know, like, so what scares,
yes.
what scares you and what entertains you might be two different things.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't like body horror kind of stuff like Hostel and like,
okay.
Where it's just all a bunch of torture and there's no
it's
real.
It's pretty hard to stomach,
like,
honestly.
I like monsters. Yeah. I like intrigue and science fiction. And I like wondering what's going on and stuff. I like slashers because it's cat and mouse
kind of classic
stuff. You know, but I don't. I like the fantasy aspect of it. I like, again, I like monsters. I like thinking about, you know, like, ooh, how would I survive a zombie apocalypse? You know, like, how would I deal with, you know, this or that, or, you know, Stranger Things. Like, you know, my sister's like, the only thing I don't know about Stranger Things is when weird stuff starts happening, I'd be the first person to be like, holy shit, weird stuff's happening.
Right.
Everybody else is kind of like, huh.
Right.
Must be the wind.
Be the wind. Like, no, it's that giant monster over your left shoulder.
So, which I've only gotten two episodes into this one. I haven't been able to binge it yet, but
I was worried that they weren't going to be able to do it right with the kids getting older. They have.
Yes.
It's, man, my hat is off to these guys. Man, it's just such a good show.
Well, so too. I mean, America has this. Whether it's true or false, but we were just talking about how great the 90s were, and there was a lot of shit that happened sad in the 90s. A lot of bad stuff happened in the
90s,
right?
Oh, tons of bad stuff.
But we were kids in the 90s, so we enjoyed it, right?
Dude, without, like, the salt, the sugar wouldn't taste so good. So,
and at the same time, all of the 90s, all of the problems we had in the 90s are solved. So you can forget how shitty it was to work.
That's true.
You know, like, I worked at Radio Shack. It sucked. Like,
dude,
8 hours a day for, like, 3 years. Sucked.
That is a boring ass place to work.
At night, we were tearing it up.
Hell yeah.
You know, keeping
they closed at 7, man. You always had nights off.
Yeah. So, you know, watching, like, Stranger Things, watching them in the mall. I worked in a mall.
Me too.
You know,
hot topic, sir.
Sweet. You know, like, and watching the mall world kind of die.
It really is.
And it's, like, it's fun to go back and remember how it used to be. You know, it's like, with the neon lights and Spencer Gifts.
Oh my goodness, Spencer Gifts.
Remember being a kid and seeing all, like, the nearly naked bikini posters at Spencer's, and you're like,
why don't they have those again?
You're like, I hope nobody catches me looking at this, but then everybody's looking at it. You know?
Yeah, they were. Dude, back in the 90s, I had friends whose dads had full-on pornography in their garage walls, with the garage door open, doing some work on their truck. You'd walk by and catch a glimpse of a boob and like, yeah, let's put that back in my head.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dude, your mom would be like, you can't go over to so-and-so's house. His dad's got smut in his garage. And you're like, we're just playing basketball. No, you're not. Oh, my goodness, man. Dude, I miss being a kid. We had so much fun. Skateboard, getting hurt, not even caring.
Oh,
dude. I fall down now. I'm like, ah, my whole body's broken.
Oh, dude, yeah. Like, the warranty ran out. Like, I'll start with, like, what the hell did I do my ankle?
Right.
Like, what the, you know.
Dude, for sure.
Yeah, like, I remember coming home from school or coming home from playing or whatever, and my mom would be like, you know, get home, take a shower, come out, have my shirt off, and my mom would be like, what happened? Mom, what are you talking about? I'm gonna go in the bathroom and look at myself in the mirror, a big old bruise.
Scratch on, like, your back or something, like, you're like, oh, what in the world?
Just like, there's no way you could be hurt that bad and not know how.
Dude,
I'm like,
yes, there is.
There's plenty of ways.
Yes, there is. Straight up, man, I get hurt even now and don't know how it happened.
Buddy drop kicked me off the back of the pickup truck.
Dude, we used to go get boxing gloves and just beat the shit out of each other in our front yards. We were bored. We were friends, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you, if I really don't like you, you're going to know. Because I'll punch my friend in the face. Like, dude, I remember, oh, my goodness, dude. So much fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, got about another 5 or 10 minutes before we need to wrap it up.
Cool.
I wanted to know, like, because I got my own list, but I think my way of thinking is definitely different than most. And do you have like a top list of maybe like the, maybe not even your favorite, but like just the best horror movies? What do you think out there is, like, what do you think everybody that hasn't been a horror buff should start with if they're gonna watch 5 movies? Give me the ones that they should watch.
Okay, so to break it in, you need to see Beetlejuice, because that's like horror light. That's, yeah, like, that'll get you in the door.
Dude, horror light for real. Yeah.
And I would say the same thing about Lost Boys. Lost Boys is such a classic, but it's not terribly scary, but it's scary enough.
You know, I've never seen Lost Boys.
Really?
Never.
It's really good.
I'm going to have to watch that soon. I'm ashamed to even admit that.
You know, number one's going to be Halloween. Like, if you don't see anything else...
Halloween number one, right?
Halloween, the first one. As far as best, you know, everybody says it, but Aliens, the second one.
Aliens.
Yeah. That's got a lot of that Stranger Things, cocooned walls.
Yeah.
And
Aliens is a really good movie.
And it, yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, the first three, in my opinion, were phenomenal.
They're. I fell off after the third one. The third one was all right. The first two were amazing.
The first two were better. But
I'm one of those that likes the second one more than the first.
Okay.
Because there's more aliens.
I agree with
more,
that.
There's more nastiness. Oh, God, let's see. Put me on the spot here. I like The Thing. The Thing is one of those that's kind of timeless. It stands up. I mean, they did a kind of prequel/remake of it a couple of years ago.
And I didn't like it, man.
Didn't work.
Give me one.
Poltergeist.
Oh, dude, yes.
Poltergeist is, it holds up. The original Poltergeist is...
That movie was scared of shit out of me. How did I forget about Poltergeist?
Poltergeist
That's is, the one where they're like, they're here. That's, yeah. That, okay, yeah. I used to get that mixed up with The Exorcist all the time when I was little, because, you know, similar eras. But that was a scary-ass movie.
Yeah, Poltergeist is always... That was one of those, again, that was heavy rotation. That was just like, you saw it all the time and stuff. But the jelly and the hallucinations,
yes,
and, you know, that kind of stuff was just the whole thing, the clown and the tree and the pool.
Tree was terrifying.
So many scenes in that movie that'll just, I mean, again, I was watching that when I was like 10 years old, so, and I shouldn't have been watching it when I was 10 years old.
Sure.
But everybody's like, oh, it was it that made a generation scared of clowns. I'm like, oh.
No, Poltergeist was scary.
Poltergeist got you with the clown under the bed.
goodness, that's so. Have you seen totally off subject on the list, but have you seen Dreamcatcher?
A long, long time ago.
Dude, that movie is scary, dude.
I need to watch it again.
It's a weird ass movie, though. Like, anything that revolves around people going out and being like out somewhere where they can't get back where they want to be. That's the stuff that gets me, man. Mm-hmm. Or you said you're not like a big like gore fan, but have you seen Revenge?
Mm-mm.
Dude, so I have got to tell you about this real quick. Okay, so it's about this girl. Spoiler alert, anybody out there is going to see Revenge and hasn't seen it yet, I'd be pretty shocked. It's about this girl, right? She goes out with this dude who's married. He has this like property on this out this desert, right? And basically, they're going to go do their thing, and then like the next day, he's going to meet up with some buddies. They're going to go out on this hunting trip. Her and him get there, they do their thing or whatever. She's just stunning. She's gorgeous, right? So his friends show up like early, and she's like half naked. She's all startled. They talk. They decide that they're going to stay the night. They're going to go ahead and go camping. Hunting, and then he'll have a chopper take her home. All right, whatever. So the next morning, the main dude is like, hey, I got to run into town, get some things. They're going to hang out here, but the chopper will be here later to take you out. She's like, okay. And this is all within the first few minutes of the movie. Basically, what happens is she gets sexually assaulted by one of the guys. He comes back. They get an argument about it because he's like, why would you do this to her? Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Well, then she thinks that he's on her side, like, just indefinitely and, like, without any... These are his best friends. Mm-hmm. So she's like... You got to get me out of here. And he's like, hold on. We got to figure this out. She's like, we got to call the police on him. And he's like, hold on. That's like, you know, that's still my friend. And she's like, you want me to tell your wife I'm here? And he just fucking, wow, puts her on the ground, right? And so basically they're in the room arguing. The two guys are in the living room watching TV, waiting on him to figure out what they're going to do so they can go hunting. They don't even care. They're just like, dude, whatever. This guy's a scumbag, right? So there's this giant window, like humongous window. And you see this girl come running down the... Like out the back of the house, and the dude's chasing her. Long story short is they chase her out. They chase her into the desert because they're trying to get a hold of her. They don't want her to tell anybody what happened. They get her to this edge of a cliff. She does it, almost runs off of it by accident. And they're like, hey, calm down. We're going to fix this. The dude basically acts like he's going to call us for some help. And then he just goes, ugh, and pushes her off that cliff. She falls down and gets impaled by this tree. There's like this weird tree stump. It was like, clearly it was old and just...
hanging off.
Yeah, well, she has shit in her pockets, right? So she hits this tree stump, bam, and impales her, goes through her stomach, bro, and she's like hanging on it, and they think she's dead, so they just go, fuck it, leave. And so then she comes to, and she's hanging by this thing. She takes a lighter that she had in her pocket and burns the tree because it's dry, rotted wood, right? It sets on fire real quick, and it cauterizes the wound on the back, and now she's running around with this piece of tree sticking out of her stomach. And so she has to go back, and basically, it's revenge. She wants to go, and that's all within, like, 10 minutes, man. And then the rest of the movie is her going around fighting. Dude, there's this scene at the end. I've never in my life seen... I've seen a lot of, like, bloody, gory movies. I've never seen one where they started it. It's a chase scene in a house around a four-walled hallway. So it's, like, it leads into different rooms of the house, but it's just fucking four... It's a square, and they're chasing each other on the square, right? And it's all white. The walls are white. The floor is white. The ceiling's white, right? And they're running. And then one of them starts dripping blood. Before you know it, there's more blood. And then they're slipping in blood. And before it's all over with, the whole fucking thing.
That's awesome.
Dude, I just botched that movie. But I'm telling you, you should watch it. It's called Revenge.
I'll check
and it's,
it out.
It's one of the craziest. Because it's like, I don't know how you handle like something cutting something and you see it. Like I don't handle that very well.
It doesn't bother me so much. Dude. I'm just real big on story.
Yeah.
So I don't like
the story is actually really so. Phenomenal. It's on, you'll have done. I wouldn't even call it a horror necessarily. It's in the horror genre, but it's more of a suspense movie to me. Awesome. Man, it is. There's a point where this dude steps on some glass and he has to get it out of his foot, bro. Yo, I was just like, why? I don't want to see this.
That's awesome.
Oh man. But that was a... You seen any... Has there been any really good stuff lately to come out that maybe I haven't seen?
Well, wife and kids, I don't get to see a whole lot of stuff first run.
Sure,
I usually
sure.
have to wait till everybody goes to bed. And
absolutely.
Get to see. And then a lot of prep work for the show. A lot of times I'm watching older stuff.
Yeah.
You know, fresh eyes. Watching Stranger Things right now, which is great. I guess it's been a while. There's a movie called The Ritual. I don't know if you've heard about that one.
I haven't seen that.
Best way I would describe it is kind of like Predator.
Okay.
Only it's supernatural Predator.
Okay.
There's like these three guys.
Have I seen that?
They're off in the wilderness, and they like one of them like they're on a hike and they're supposed to be going this way.
Okay.
Then one of them gets hurt, so they cut through the woods.
I've seen that.
And then, like,
that movie's badass.
They start getting chased by these, like, weird pagan people.
Yeah.
That's
a really good movie. I forgot about that one. I saw that one.
That was good. Like I said, Predator. Like, I'm sitting watching. It's like.
Yeah, dude. No, that was a good movie. I watched that one, like, on my phone, with my headphones in. Bad news, man. I shouldn't have done that. That one got me.
I know they're working on a new Haunting of Hill House, but that series
was
amazing. Like, that series was
freaking
awesome.
Have you seen The Babysitter?
Nuh-uh.
On Netflix?
Not yet. Is it good?
It's a campy horror movie. It's badass.
Went back, and one that's real underrated is Tucker and Dale versus Evil. I don't know if you've seen that.
Man, you know, I have, but it's been a long time. Is it pretty good? Should I go watch it again? It's been a long time since I've seen that one.
It is a properly done horror comedy.
Okay.
Because they don't... It's a lot of sight gags.
Okay.
But it's real gory.
Okay.
So, what the story is, like, you got these two redneck guys that are rehabbing a fishing cabin.
Okay.
So they're off in the boondocks, right?
Okay.
And there's a whole bunch of, like, teenagers that are camping, right? Well, the teenagers, what happens is one girl is going to go swimming and the rednecks are out fishing and they scare her and she falls in the water and bumps her head. So they go fish her out of the water to save her, and all of her friends see them basically kidnapping her.
Oh, jeez.
And so they freak out and they go on the offense to get her back, but as they do, they start running into accidents and hurting themselves and killing themselves and stuff. All of the stuff that happens, it's not like stupid stuff. Like it's, I mean, some of it's a little over the top, but it's plausible. These two redneck guys, like, so these guys think that these guys are killers.
Okay.
And these guys are like, why are all these kids, like, dying in our woods? It's like some kind of weird suicide cult or something.
Yeah.
And all they want to do is fix their shed. Like, they're
dude,
just
that's
out there
awesome.
Trying to
I'm
fix
gonna
it.
Watch that tonight.
It's hilarious, and it's got a good amount of scares that will make you jump and like,
That's awesome.
So it's a fun horror comedy.
Man, that's awesome.
And then once I get home tonight, I'll hit up another episode of Stranger Things.
I'm actually trying to decide if I want to watch Stranger Things or watch that now. But, yeah, man, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, man. I'm so glad you made it out. We did a nice little 50-some-odd 60 minutes, man. That's a good time.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure, dude. Thank you for coming out. ScaryDad.com, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. Follow them. Love them. Get scared with them. Come
listen,
on.
Listen to the show. We do a lot of this kind of back and forth talking.
We got to have you on again in the next month or two, man, to make it kind of a semi-regular thing if you have the time and desire to come out. Or,
definitely.
I mean, I'll come out to you next time.
We'll get Scott out here next time.
Hell yeah.
And you know, we got, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Got into this fun stuff.
I love it. I love it, man. But,
cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks, man. Don't forget, again, subscribe to the channel, guys. Hit up ScaryDad.com. All of our social media is at FunStuffComicsTX. My name is Randall. Thank you guys so much. This is Shop Talk. See you next time.
Peace.
Later.